The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Sorry, Brian. Well, hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, Labor Day weekend, August 31st, 2014. We are part of the network of shows on WGBB 1240 broadcasting from West Babylon, New York, and I am here tonight for the first hour with John Sweeney as my co-host. Good evening, John. How are you?
Good evening, Gary. Thank you for having me tonight.
Yeah, my buddy John Panarese is on a boat right now heading to the Bahamas. Unfortunately, he's not hearing this, and so we can talk about him all hour if we really want to, but we'll give him a pass. But anyway, on this show tonight, we're going to have Rich Diaz Rodriguez from IslandersInsight.com to start talking about the preseason that's upcoming in the next couple of weeks. Camps open up around the 12th of September, I believe, and games start about 10 days later. So, football season is 1 week away, or actually 4 days away. I think the first game is on Thursday night with the Seattle Seahawks defending their Super Bowl championship. Hockey gets started in another week, which John and I are very excited. I know Derek is probably running around his house going, "When's the Rangers starting? When's the Rangers starting?" So that's coming up, and we're looking forward to that. And in the second half hour of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about how fans can get involved with their NHL teams. I spent a week in St. Louis a couple weeks ago at the National Hockey League Booster/Fan Club convention, and I interviewed a few people that were there from various places. One city among interesting venture was Hartford, Connecticut. Of course, they haven't had a team since 1996 when the Whalers left town and went to Carolina, but they still have a presence at our convention. So it's an interesting...
They're very hopeful.
Yeah, it's an interesting aspect of finding out how fans from other cities get together every year for an interesting social event, you know, and it's something that gets them pumped up to get ready for the NHL season that's coming up in about 4 weeks. So... So, John, you're getting ready for this season, huh?
I can't wait for the season. Also, talking about Hartford, I heard a stat that the Hartford Whalers jerseys, like Ray Ferraro and those guys, are actually the top sellers in in the top 10. They're still selling the Hartford Whalers.
Oh yeah, yeah. Matter of fact, what I did
T-shirts.
Hartford was a very important part of my life. I don't know if you know this, but my wife Claire and I, our first date was an Islanders-Hartford Whalers game at the Hartford Civic Center. We drove up there after work, went up there, saw the Islanders. It was in 1993, that magical run that they made to the semifinals. They lost in overtime on a Terry Yake goal. And to bring the whole thing full circle, we're at the Booster Club convention, and I see this guy from the Blues organization talking to some people in a hospitality room. Turns out it was Terry Yake. So I went up and told him, I said, my first date with this woman, pointing to my wife, I said, you scored the overtime goal and beat my Islanders. So he apologized, but I said, I still got the girl. So
That's the main thing.
Exactly, that's the main thing. But we do got our guest on right now, and for any of you Islander fans that are not reading this site, I don't know why you're not. It's a site called Islanders Insight. There's a bunch of guys that write for it, and one of the head honchos, if you will. It's a guy by the name of Rich Diaz. He's a good friend of mine. He's a good buddy of mine in the Islander blog box. And he joins us on WGBB Sports Talk 1240 tonight. Good evening, Rich, and how are you?
You doing, Gary? How's it going?
All right, and I got my tag team partner, John Sweeney, here tonight covering for John Panarese.
Hey, John. Hi. Rich, excuse me. Rich, how are you?
How you doing, John?
Rich, I'm gonna have Brian, our engineer, play a little song clip. This song was used by the Islanders in 1987 as their theme song when the guys came on the ice. Rich, if you can, Brian, if you can play it for me.
Can't hear.
It's a song by Neil Diamond. It's called "Headed for the Future." It wasn't a great, Grammy-winning song, but it had good insight because at that time the Islanders were struggling. You know, it was post-Cup time, and you can cut it, Bri. But I just wanted to play that song for a couple of seconds. You know, we're heading for a new future now. Obviously, 12 months from now we're going to be, going to Brooklyn instead of going to Uniondale. So, What's been on the thoughts and minds of the people that read Islanders Insight as to what the future is going to unhold?
You know, that's a very tricky question, Gary. I'll tell you this. Taking a pulse of our readers, it's a divide. It's 50-50. Some are very hopeful. Some admit, whether it pains them or not, that Gart Snow has improved his team on paper this summer. Some refuse to believe that. Some refuse that whatever he does, come rain or shine, he has ruined his team. He needs to go. Everyone needs to go. I think, if you ask me as a fan, I think that the Islanders are poised to do much better than they have in recent time. And I think that, for me, I just can't pay attention to an Isles Twitter kind of mindset. I think that there is nothing holding us back from saying that this team has improved, and it's not a foolish, you know, whim. It's not fantasy. I really believe this team has done, on paper, has done marvels compared to what we were, let's say, 12 months ago.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you, Rich. I'm not happy about the Islanders going to Brooklyn, but
who is?
I think that they're going to get more free agents, because I think there's a problem with free agents coming to play for under Wang now at the sale of the team.
Yep.
And what direction you think it's going to go in? You think more free agents will come here now at the sale?
Yeah,
of the
I
team?
Think so. Yeah, you have to accept the fact that whether we like it or not, Gary, you and I, you know, we've all been Islander fans for a very long time, and the Coliseum is something of a second home, right? An extended home for us.
As Shea Stadium, as they used to call Shea Stadium, it's a dump, but it's our dump.
Yes.
Exactly. But I believe that the lore only comes with showing that you're keeping up with the times. This is a faster game than it was in the 70s and 80s and 90s, if you will. And it's also a shinier, sleeker game as well. And you have to sell it that way, unfortunately. Better or worse, Barclays is a much, much more progressive venue, a much more modernized venue. I mean, sports is lucrative. And you have to show it as well as say it, you know? I mean, it's entertaining, gentlemen. It's a show, you know? And it's also about the atmosphere, the theater you place the show in, right? It's all about the venue. Nostalgia can only take you so far. And we, you know, Islander fans, they kind of come in varied age groups and genders, if you will. But if you want to have your organization move forward and have a fan base for the future, you have to do something like this. You have to go to Brooklyn.
Yeah. You know, and as much as it pains most of us to think about it, it is. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously we all know the politics, and we don't want to get into it here, and believe me, it'll get the rest of my hair that's on my head gone. But let's look at the team we got now. I mean, obviously, you know, most of the Twitterverse and all the, you know, the websites and stuff were really complaining July 1 that Garth did nothing. Oh, it's going to be the same thing again as last year. Blah 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 blah. And then day 2, he comes out, gets the Chad Johnson deal, gets Halak signed, gets Kuhlman and Grabowski signed. I mean, right away you look at the goaltending situation and it's like light years ahead.
Major
upgrade. I mean, you and I know from being in the press box and going down to the locker room that Evgeny Nabokov is one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. A great person to talk to in the locker room, but you know what? It doesn't save pucks.
Nope.
At this point, and getting Halak in here for 4 years and finally giving that man the chance to show that he is a number one goaltender, I think is going to make this team immediately show signs of being a force to be reckoned with.
And you got a legitimate backup, too, and with Johnson, too. I mean, you know, they're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
I think, look, Gart's hands were tied. Like I said before, like I broke the point, it's just a lot of free agents don't want to come here and for some reason or another. And now that maybe with the sale of the team, they're going to Brooklyn, the new sexy place for, you know, maybe you'll start getting some free agents here. And, you know, I mean, they're doing good. I mean, they got these guys now. And we'll see what happens.
The question is with the two of them, and this is what I was going to try to get to ask you, Richard. I mean, yes, I think Garth took a major, major chance on these guys. I mean, Nikolai Kuhlman, the last 3 years, has not scored more than 10 goals in a season.
Right.
But he gave him $16 million. I mean, Grabowski had a so-so season working with Washington and being with Alexander Ovechkin and really didn't pull as much weight as they thought he was going to pull. He gave him $16 million. I mean, looking at Garcineau, this is one of those riverboat gambler type deals that he's done in the past and it succeeded in, as a matter of fact.
I love the move. I think that both Grabo and Kuhlman, I think they really wanted to play again. I think nothing more positive in your favor if you're Garcineau, knowing that two players, I mean, it's a package deal, right? You get Grabo, you have to bring Kuhlman along with you. So these guys want to play, and they want to play on the same line, and I'm all for it. Why not? Considering what the market was, I think Garcineau did the best he could. As far as the goaltending tandem, that for me was the deftest move of the entire NHL. Like, I really think it was a steal. I think that if people are going to look at Garcineau when this works out, because I may be drinking the Kool-Aid, gentlemen, but I honestly believe that this was the best move of the summer. You pick up Halak and Johnson, for me, the best move. Garcineau will be remembered for this for a very long time.
I agree. I totally agree. And again, a steal at $1.3 million for Chad Johnson. Yeah. I mean, yes, he had a very strong team, strong defense in Boston in front of him. But you know what? And again, we can now turn into the defensive side of the game right now. I mean, that is the Achilles heel, if you will. You know, we all know what happened last year, and we all know the faults of Andrew McDonald and then the injuries that came out and putting the kids in. I mean, to me, my biggest wish this year, and I'm putting it under my pillow and hoping is that the maturation process of Calvin DeHaan kicks up another notch. I mean, to me, he was the most improved player as the season went on in my eyes. And everybody says that he's got the best IQ, hockey IQ on the team, including John Tavares. They say he's got more hockey IQ than he does, and that surprises me. But to me, I think his play moved up another notch. What do you think about that?
I'm looking forward to that. I think he is the smartest defenseman we've had in a very long time. He's a lot like Stefan Pearson at times, right? A nice, clean, crisp.
You know what? Thank you for that. That's a great comparison.
Yeah, so I think that he has a nice, crisp, and Mikey Wilhoff from our site has always pointed this out. There's something about Calvin DeHaan's IQ. He looks up. He knows how to get that pass out of his own zone. And I honestly believe DeHaan's going to have a great year. The question on my mind, and I wanted to maybe turn this around and ask you, what about Matt Donovan? I feel as if Matt Donovan, for me, that my eyes are completely focused on him. I believe that he didn't get as fair a shake as he could have.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about maturation processes. I think being yo-yoed back up and down the AHL, NHL didn't allow this kid to fully extend his talent to kind of make those mistakes without like reproach. I think that, I mean, when you consider that when I compare Thomas Hickey to Matt Donovan, I feel as if we're talking about the same kind of player, although I think Dono is a little bit more offensive-minded.
And a little bigger.
And a little bigger. But they made the same kind of mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel as if Dono had the spotlight on him. They were just waiting for him to make those errors because they're on the fence with him. I want, if you ask me what I wish for Matt Donovan to be left alone.
I will totally agree with you, and again, you and I both know because we both are. I think we're both Facebook friends with his mother, and I'm sure she's listening right now in Oklahoma. So, I'm sure that that she's and I totally agree. And you and I both in the press box the entire year, and Andy as well, have been very, very supportive of him. And I think he's been flipped around too much. And again, I know he's been after he got his after he got married this summer, he's been busting his tail down there.
Oh yeah.
So I know he's getting prepared. So that's the other issue. I mean, to me, they were almost on equal terms when the season started, but unfortunately, because of the flip-flop and because of the insane rise that I think Calvin made, it's put him ahead of everybody. But, do you see Calvin DeHaan with, say, Travis Hamonic as a 1-2 punch?
I would like that. I would like that very much, but it all depends on Lubo. I think, I don't know whether or not Lubo, I mean, Where do we stand with Lugo is the question, right?
Right. I mean, it's, you know, obviously he's healed from his concussion. The question is does he come in camp and make a stance?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you ask me in an ideal setting, yeah, I mean, Calvin DeHaan for me was absolutely phenomenal. I don't think it's hyperbole to say that he's as intelligent, if not on par with John Tavares. I don't see that to be an exaggeration.
Do you think the Islanders are going to bring up Reinhardt this year?
Yeah, I think so. I don't see why not. I think he's ripe. I mean, it all depends on what. Obviously, he's got to show up at camp. But I like what I saw in him last year. I mean, stats are stats. But I think that the Islanders, everyone's clamoring for a top four defenseman. Where are we getting it? Is he coming? Are we going to get Oduya? Are we going to get, you know, this guy, that guy? I think he's in our farm system. I think.
I sure hope so. I really do. I hope so because he could be electric. He's going to be fantastic, Reinhardt.
And you got Ryan Pulak right behind him, a year behind.
Yeah.
Because I've read different things that, you know, maybe Nielsen's going to grab and is going to get traded for a top defenseman or Bailey.
Yep.
And I think you're right. I think they're sitting right there and they're prime ready to go.
I think, again, we talked about it before we came on the air. I think the issue with the Baileys and the Grabners, I think if there would have been a trade for them, I think it would have already happened.
Yeah.
I don't think they would wait this long. I don't think they'd wait into September.
Right.
You know, it's too much of a shaky situation at this point. But
I will say this, guys. I honestly think that Bailey's on a short leash, though. I don't think they're going to wait until January to see if he's going to, you know, awaken.
Yeah, I mean, the project has gone too long.
Yeah. Because I don't know where he's got a spot right now. I mean, really. I mean, if you look at it. He had a hard, I mean, Gart signed him 2 years ago to that deal, but last year he didn't play good. In the playoffs against Pittsburgh, he did okay.
Yeah.
But just last year, he hasn't done anything.
And you know,
how long are you going to wait?
It's funny, we say that, and again, he did have career numbers, but we still say that. We're waiting for that next step to come up.
He's got the talent.
You could see the talent is there, but it's not between the ears. It's just... Unfortunately, it's just a get-her-done philosophy that he just doesn't get it. You know, and it's a shame because he's such the type of kids that Garth either drafts or brings up, they're great kids. I mean, John, we see it in the locker room. I mean, they are the nicest kids.
Yep.
They're got fantastic attitudes. There's no bad eggs in the hen house, you know, but unfortunately, you know, you could be the nicest person in the world, but if you don't get it done... The bottom line is, do you keep that person?
Yeah, and I'm pulling for Josh Bailey. I mean, for everything you just said, I think he is one of the most humane hockey players I've ever met in the flesh. And I think you should see him with the kids after the game. Even if he flopped, even if he had the worst game of his life, he always has a smile for his fans and those seats that he sponsors. He's an amazing, amazing young man. And, you know, I'm hoping he has a...
And so to lead on to that, again, you know, looking at Josh as such a nice guy, I look at a guy like Casey Cizikas now. I mean, a fourth-line guy, and you got all these guys that are, you know, potential fourth-liners, you know, the Clutterbucks, the Matt Martins, the Colin McDonalds, these guys. I mean, that's going to be a very difficult decision. I mean, Casey's a great kid, another great kid.
And he's a hustler.
Hustler, great, but right. Unbelievable with the kids, with the fans. You know, Matt Martin the same way, obviously. We all know his exploits and experiences. Clutterbuck's the same way. I mean, where do you draw the line? I mean, you know, I mean, obviously we got to see what happens at camp, but what are your thoughts about that? I mean, you know, who's the odd one out?
Yeah, you know, you hit the nail right on the head as far as issues, because that's something we've been bouncing around on the site. And, you know, my Lord, I mean, Martin was a minus 22. McDonald was like an 11 or I forget. I mean, these guys combined were like, they just had a terrible year.
Yeah.
And without a fourth line, you nothing. You can't survive. Your energy comes from them. I love McDonald. I know he hustles and he does his best, but I really think that a Clutterbuck could be on a fourth line, at least just to see what happens, to see if Casey can awaken. You know, he's got a guy on his right that can, you know, score goals, that he's goal oriented. That's the thing about Matt Martin, that needs to change and evolve. He needs to do what Nystrom did with his own game, which is to stop bruising and start scoring.
Yeah.
Start being more net minded and net oriented. Clutterbuck doesn't hesitate. You guys have seen him.
Yeah, he's always like a horse fly. He's all over the ice.
All the China shop.
But you know, going back to Martin, you do need Martin for the enforcer a little bit. But I know what you're saying, his offense is not there, you know. But when he's on the ice, he's a threat, though, to put the body and also to fist the cuffs if he has to.
Yep. And the thing with Casey, I think Casey needs to be a little bit, and I think he admitted this to Andy Graziano. He admitted, not to Andy, excuse me, but he admitted this to Jack in a way, because there was an illusion that some of these kids weren't, you know, were just being a little bit lackadaisical with their responsibilities. And Casey admitted this, and he needs to, you know, he needs to be responsible for that line. He needs to take his responsibility just a little bit more. And I think that Casey has all the talent in the world. He just needs to just focus a little bit more. I think he needs to turn it around a little bit, and he can elevate the other two guys next to him.
Okay.
It's all about Casey.
I want to ask you this. This year, now, Washington didn't make the playoffs last year. You know, obviously the Islanders didn't. And do you think the Islanders have enough this year, which I do, because I do drink the Kool-Aid every year. Do you think they're going to beat out? You think they're going to beat out Washington or get that last spot this year? I mean, it's a tough.
You know,
the way they restructured the it's tough now. It isn't easy.
You know, it's I kind of look at it this way, guys. I look at it. It's not so much that the Islanders have enough to make it, but I also look at the other teams that they compete against. Are they in any way, shape, or form weaker than they were last season? I think the Rangers have weakened themselves a bit. I don't think the Canes have improved all that much. I don't think the Devils have improved all that much. I think the Islanders, of the teams I've just mentioned, maybe the bottom four or five teams, like the Sabres, if you will, of the world, I don't think they've improved all that dramatically on paper anyway.
I think the Islanders
are poised to do some damage, provided that they do what they did 24 months ago, guys, during the truncated season, which is take advantage of everybody else's weakness. It's not that you're better, but you're more opportunistic. You're a little bit more aggressive and a little bit more sneaky. And I think the Islanders have to be that team that everybody takes for granted until it's too late, until they realize it's 3-1 with a minute left in the third. That's the kind of team the Islanders have to be. They weren't blown out, guys. They weren't blown out last season.
And the kids played great. I mean, the kids played great at the end of the season. They really did. They went on a good run at the end of the year. You know, they played good.
Okay.
Top
line. Who do you put with KO and JT?
Rod Nelson for now.
Yeah, that's my thought. I mean, he's the one that's, I think, is destined for something really special if he gets the chance. I mean, to me, the World Championship sold me on him.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the big thing. So then you put obviously Franzi would be your second
center.
Of course, that's not bad at all. That's not bad. He had a great year last year too.
Franzi always had. You know, Franzi's one of those stalwart players. He's just steady, man. He's the best. I love Franzi.
So, but. Go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say. Where do you put Strom?
Strom's got to be to me. In order to make him effective, you got to put him somewhere in the top six.
I mean,
I hope, and from what I've heard, he's gained a few pounds, and that was his issue, because he was coming in at 190, 195. He's got to be at least 205 in order for him to do what he needs to do and take that next step. You think, am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the one thing that always worried me about Strom when I met him and I seen him play. He's phenomenal. You can see it. You can see he's losing talent.
Yeah, his hands are great. His hands are great.
His hands are great, but he needs to gain. He needs to have an NHL body. He has an NHL mind. Definitely get. He has it, but no NHL body yet. You know, and that's what I've been thinking about this summer, and what we've been kicking around in the website. Where do you put Ryan Strome? Some people will say automatically, "Oh, we'll put him with JT. He's going to learn from the best." No way. Rod Nelson definitely, and as far as the second line,
I mean. I agree with you. All right, one more. I have to ask you one more question about John Tenelli. When are the Islanders going to smarten up and retire that jersey? You know, I mean, also Pat LaFontaine, one of the greatest American players of all time. I mean, come on.
I know, my favorite of all time.
Me too. I mean, when are they going to go up there and put their jerseys up there? This is, you know.
I think there isn't there some sort of, I could have sworn there was some sort of Facebook page that is trying to get some initiative going so they can retire.
I mean, Tonelli definitely deserves up there with the four, you know.
I mean, I can't believe that Tonelli's that next to Nystrom. Those two flags should be, those two banners should be
exactly
to each other.
Exactly.
Do
the right, you know, that's they have to do the right thing, the Islanders, to put that up there. You know?
All right, so let's put the Swami headphones on you for the last question.
Yes.
And you know what, John, we'll do it too. All right, what's going to be the over-under for the amount of points the Islanders get this season?
I don't know. I'll go last. I don't know.
All right. I'll put mine out there. I say they're going to. I say I'm shooting for 92.
92 points. Okay.
92 points. I think they could do it with the goaltending that they got, because goaltending's going to work everything out up front. I think the defense will improve because of the goaltending and, you know, behind them. And, you know, JT will be JT and do what he's supposed to do, be in the top five in scoring. And I think we'll get 92 points. All right, John, you?
I'm saying right in the high 90s myself.
High 90s?
Yeah. Well, I'll go 97. Let's
okay. He's definitely – I think there's more in that iced tea he's drinking than Kool-Aid. Rich?
I think if the teams that I just mentioned do as poorly as I think and know they will, I wouldn't disagree with you guys. But I'm going to say between 85, 88, around the 80, you know, high 80s, low 90s.
Okay.
That's still good enough. Yeah.
All right. So listen, Rich, we really appreciate it. Why don't you just give a quick shameless plug to the site?
So, check us out on islandersinside.com and the Dumb and Chase podcast as well, headed by Shane Blackburn.
Mm-hmm.
We have content going up every day, and our podcast is twice a month once the season kicks in. Just come and give us a listen, give us a read.
That's great. And again, it's a great site, and I still call myself the godfather to you guys, because you took it over the other side, Eyes on Isles, from me, and you guys do a great job. And again, if you're not subscribed to this site, why not? All right. So, Rich, again, we thank you very much for coming on. And we will see you in preseason, and enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
Rich, thanks a lot.
Likewise, guys.
Thanks a lot. 40 all days, right. Rich, till Carolina, Rich. 40 more days. Here we go.
30,000 minutes, right? Something like that?
Exactly.
All right, man. Take care. Again, right. That's Rich Diaz from Islanders Insight. We're going to take a couple of minutes and pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the fan interest in the NHL. So make sure you tune back in to Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
And welcome back to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday Labor Day weekend, August 31st. And this portion of Sports Talk 1240 is proudly sponsored by Country Foot Care in Mineola and Williston Park. Dr. Stephen Brook is a podiatrist providing the highest quality foot care on Long Island. Whether you have bunions, heel spurs, hammer toes, ingrown toenails, or foot pain, Country Foot Care's board-certified physicians offer expert service and care backed by many years of experience and an impressive resume of credentials. For more information about Country Foot Care, you can contact their offices at 516-741-FEET or stop by at 155 Mineola Boulevard in Mineola or 479 Willis Avenue in Williston Park. You can check out their website at www.countryfootcare.com. Not only does Dr. Brooks sponsor the show, he was my guest last month as well, and I've also been a patient of his for almost 20 years, and I absolutely recommend them should you be in the need of podiatric assistance. So we're back. Anyway, like I said in the beginning of the show, I have been a member of the Islanders Booster Club since 1988 when I started my season ticket venture. And I have been a proud member. I've been a past president for 4 years as well. And every August, the various fan clubs / booster club, depending on what they call it in whatever city you're in, get together every year and have a convention. And this convention was held the second weekend of August every year, and it was held by the St. Louis Blues Fan Club. And by the way, kudos on a great job.
Yeah.
And what they do, basically, John, just to give you a little heads up, is it's about a couple hundred people. The numbers have gone down a little bit in past years, but it used to be a lot more. But we get a couple hundred people from all over the country, from fan clubs that exist for current NHL teams. Not all of them have them, but most of them do. And we also get members in attendance from teams that haven't been around for a number of years. For one, I mentioned Hartford, the Whalers Booster Club,
right,
is around. Believe it or not, we have the California Seals Booster Club, not the Sharks. They have a membership in attendance, but California Golden Seals.
When did they go out? What year was that?
Brad Kurtzberg was around. He'd tell me, but I believe it was like 1978, 79, somewhere around there. They went to Cleveland, or they merged with Cleveland and Minnesota, but Brad was on, he'd tell me. We also get the Atlanta Flames Fan Club. They were actually the host of the convention last year down in Savannah, Georgia. So they haven't been around since 1979,
right,
when they moved to Calgary in 80. So they're still in attendance. But it's a great social environment. It's a great chance for people that get involved with their own organization and helping out like the Islanders do with the team. And we do a lot of charitable events and things like that. So it's a great social environment. And so, I mean, we were in St. Louis all week. The Cardinals were in town. So we got to go see the great Busch Stadium, did a tour of the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, you know, all different things that we saw around the city of St. Louis.
It's been a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And again, you know, there is a quote-unquote business end of it, you know, where the teams get, you know, the fan clubs get together and talk about the different charitable things they do and stuff like that.
That's the main thing.
But again, it's primarily social, primarily libations, if you will, if you're over the drinking age. And there are a few people that weren't, but, you know, for most of them, it was a lot of socializing and drinking. And what I did was I actually talked to a few people. And the first person I'm going to get on, if Brian's got it ready for me, and he does, spot number one, it's a young gentleman that lives in New Jersey, and he's actually a member of the Rangers fan club. So this could be one of Derek's buddies, maybe. This kid's a very nice kid. His name is Andrew Shapiro, and we talked for a couple of minutes, and he had a great aspect on what it is to be a member of these clubs and what the convention does. So, Brian, if you can hit that clip. Number one, it's not coming on. You've got to be kidding me. It's not playing.
All right, so
we're going to talk about
it. Well, I was looking up Booster Club, and I'm excited to join. I can't wait to join, me and my family to join. But they started in 72 when the team started.
Right.
It helped promote hockey in Long Island.
It's been since inception, yep. Mm-hmm.
Which has been – it's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, they've been around through the thick of it. Obviously, the keep talking. Okay. No, the culture of an organization like this has changed in the last 40 years. I mean, obviously, you've seen some clips and pictures from when the team was around in the 70s, they actually got very involved. I mean, you know, we used to have awards dinners or dinner dances over at like Anton's in Hicksville, and the guys, you know, there would be a theme, and guys like Brian Trache and Bobby Bourne and Bossy and all these guys would actually come out in costume. Right. You know,
really? It's
a yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, the times were different. You know, the guys lived in the neighborhoods. You know, the guys hung out with the fans. You know, it was a whole different thing. But the pulse of what a fan club or a booster club is to help out the team. You know, I mean, we have meetings once. We try to have meetings once a month during the season. Like, for example, last season we had Matt Martin at a meeting. Great attendance. Great kid. You know, was great in answering a lot of the questions the fans had. Later on in the season, we had both Ryan Strome and Calvin DeHaan come, and they were a great tag team.
Two good kids, right?
Again, excellent kids. So, I mean, that's the main thing of membership is getting the chance to get to be with the players.
So you do have meetings? You have meetings once a month.
We try to have meetings once a month during the season. Obviously, the schedule is dependent on whether we do. And last season, the schedule, as most fans know, was garbage.
Yeah.
You know, so we really couldn't, you know, have the time to, you know, get meetings with the guys in between, you know, when they were home, you know, when you had the chance to, you know, be able to, you know, get, you know, have the guys around. So it was tough.
And to join up, correct me if I'm wong, it's $22 for adults, which is very, very reasonable.
It's $17 for kids. It's less if you're under, I think you're under 10. It's like 12 bucks.
And you get a family deal.
There's family deals. You get a little money off. There is a newsletter that comes out, and unfortunately I'm the newsletter editor, and I've been all right, we got the interviews going. So again, let's go back and we'll listen to what Andrew had to say about being a member and of course being a member of the Rangers fan club as well. So go ahead, hit tape one.
So we're here at the National Hockey League Booster Club Convention in St. Louis, Missouri, and I am speaking with.
My name is Andrew Shapiro. I am from New Jersey, and I am a member of the New York Rangers Booster Club.
And this convention has been in existence since 1971, and for the last 44 years, it's gathered thousands of fans from all different walks of life, North America, Europe as well. And Andrew, just describe to everybody what the basic experience of a Booster Club convention is.
Well, basically, it's a week of going to a city. Can be anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, depending on who's hosting the convention and where they decide to take people. And it's just a great chance to hang out with hockey fans like yourself. I'm a young kid. This is my 19th convention. I've been coming little since I was 6 months old. And it's a great way to just meet new people. It's a great chance to just kind of hang out, play games, go see the sights, and if you are of the legal age, enjoy a few adult beverages in the process.
So tell us what the typical week was for you. What were the things that you enjoyed most about being in St. Louis this week?
Well, I got a chance to go to the brand new Busch Stadium and see a very interesting Cardinals-Red Sox game. Very exciting. The Cardinals won in the bottom of the eighth. Very cool stuff. Got to go to a couple of awesome dive bars, one in Illinois, Fast Eddie's Bar, one back in Missouri at Keaton's Double Play. Also got to go check out The Hill, which is like St. Louis's version of Little Italy. And then my favorite part was probably the Anheuser-Busch Brewery Tour. Got to see how Budweiser is made, and of course got to sample it right from the source, and it was great.
Yes, well, you know how much people love their beer here in St. Louis, but what would you say to the person in the New York area that's listening to the show now, whether they follow your Rangers or my Islanders or any other team, what do they need to do to partake of this event?
Well, you really only need to be a fan of a team, find a booster club. All three metro area teams have booster clubs, the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils all have active booster clubs. Just reach out. If you go to a game, look for a fan club table, look for a booster club sign, anything like that. Check out your social media networking, Facebook, Twitter. They all have pages. The National Hockey League Booster Club itself has a Twitter page and a Facebook page and a website. So just check it out, and even if you're not, you know, big on, even if you're not a huge religious hockey fan who goes to all 41 home games and follows the team cross country, it's still a great chance to just hang out with some awesome people, talk a little hockey, and enjoy a great vacation, and just a great way to blow off some steam and pass the time before opening night.
And in addition, you know, being a member of a booster or fan club, it's a chance for you to possibly get to see some players from your local team, as well as do charity events as well.
Oh, absolutely. There are booster clubs talking about, you know, charity 5Ks and charity toy drives, helping out at food banks. There are booster clubs that talk about players coming to meetings all the time. You know, it's a great way to get more involved with the club that you follow, even if it's just in a minute way. Most of these clubs are very, very good about interacting with booster clubs. And it's a great chance to just kind of get a little bit more in-depth with your team and meet some people who you may not expect to be hockey fans.
Well, Andrew, we thank you for spending a couple minutes with me and talking about the convention. And enjoy the rest of your weekend in St. Louis.
Gary, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right.
That was good stuff. He could hit all the points.
Yeah, he's a radio kid too, so he knows how to be eloquent on the mic. But again, like I said, he makes a good point. You know, when you're a fan of a team, you know, you want to obviously show your support in whatever way. And you know, the booster club type or fan club type thing is, you know, has gone in a different direction, obviously, than it was in the 80s and 90s, even the 2000s. Obviously, with the advent of some of the NHL collective bargaining agreements, players don't have the accessibility that they used to. You know, their time is more important. Time is, in a lot of cases, is money. Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have discussed it off air on some things.
Absolutely, yeah.
But you know, it is a little different. But again, you know, it's a different way for the fan to get involved. Again, you know, I can only speak for my organization that I'm involved in. You know, we do a lot of charity stuff at our meetings. We always are raising money for something, you know, whether it's for Hockey Fights Cancer, or it's for, a youth hockey team or something else in the Long Island area. You know, we do food drives for Long Island Cares. During Christmas time, sometimes we get toys for Tots, you know, we add on to Toys for Tots, or we do whatever we can that helps the Islanders with their charitable foundation. And obviously we use the Islanders Children's Foundation as well. But if you can set up clip number two, if it's available, Bri. Again, this is from a female perspective, a young lady friend of mine that lives, believe it or not, in South Florida. So if you can set number two to go.
I'm here at the NHL Booster Club Convention in St. Louis, and I've got a good friend of mine here. And just introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Cheryl LaPont with Florida Panthers Booster Club.
Now, the Florida Panthers have been around for now about almost 20 years. Can you just tell everybody how you got involved with the running of the Booster Club?
Well, it started, of course, in the 96 season when the Panthers went to the finals. That's when I first got interested in hockey. And when the Panthers Booster Club came about and I was introduced by the past president who passed away, she brought me in, and that's when we started in 1999.
And you've been coming to conventions since?
Buffalo. I can't remember the date. I'm sorry, but it's been
It's about 2006, I guess.
Something
2006,
like that. Yeah.
So just tell everybody what the experience is of being with all these fellow crazed hockey fans.
Well, what I like the best about coming here is that it's not a rivalry. I like that we're all friends, we're all family, and we consider us as a big group. And I like the camaraderie that we have. There's no fighting. There's no, my team is better than your team. It's just a lot of fun, and I enjoy coming.
So, and you guys in Florida actually hosted in 2012. Just to describe that experience of being able to host, have 200 people come from all over the country and visit your part of the world.
One word is exhausting, but no, it was actually a lot of fun, and I would do it again in a heartbeat. It's just wonderful being able to share your city and your town and show people around, and and just show them a good time.
So what do you say to people, whether it's in our New York audience or people around the country or even other parts of the world that are interested in hockey and possibly attending an event like this?
I say do it. Just do it. I mean, don't hold back. Don't question it. You've got to come out. You've got to experience it, because I can't do it justice. Nobody can do it justice. You have to actually be there. It's like going to a hockey game. You can't watch it on TV. It's not the same thing as being in there in person. It's the same thing with the NHLBC. I can't tell it to you and explain it properly. You just have to be there.
Well, thanks very much for the time. Enjoy the rest of your stay in St. Louis.
Thank you.
Sitting here outside the hospitality
Whoops.
Room with the NHLBC.
Okay, so anyway, you know, it's an interesting perspective, you know, from someone that's actually hosted a convention. Actually, the Islanders Booster Club hosted this convention 17 years ago, 1997, and it was a lot of work. I was responsible for actually getting people from the airports to our hotel, which we used the Huntington Hilton, sorry. And I must have put about 3,000 miles on a car in a week, John. It was
really crazy,
yeah, but it was a lot of fun. We got to show everybody what Long Island was. Everybody, you know, everybody when they come here to see a game when they're from another team, all they see is the Marriott and the building, just like all these hockey players that don't realize what Long Island is. All they see is the Marriott and the building, and that's it. So we showed them what Long Island was all about, you know, between the beaches and the games and the Hamptons and, you know, the Norfolk and – you know, showing that the Long Island is not just the right end of New York City. There's a lot more to it.
The guys that have when you went to Atlanta and everything. They still remember. They probably have a lot of memories from the Islanders winning the four cups in a row and everything.
Sure,
there's so much history on this team, and Long Island's beautiful. It's a shame that they didn't do the Lighthouse Project over there. I mean, the Islanders would still be here on the island instead of going to Brooklyn, and. It would have been nice. It's a shame that they voted in Nassau and it didn't work out. But it sounds like the Booster Club is a lot of fun. I can't wait to join.
Yeah, we're still relevant, and we're still going to be relevant. Obviously, with the move to Brooklyn, we don't know what's going to happen. Obviously, where we're going to be in the Barclays Center and so on and so forth. But we got to remember, the team is still, from what we know, you know, we're not obviously privy to it, but they're still going to be based here. They're still going to play on Long Island. They're still going to practice on Long Island. They're still going to live on Long Island. It's just a matter of where they're playing their games.
Yeah.
So it's going to be similar to what the Rangers do. I mean, obviously, the Rangers practice in Greenberg.
Right.
You know, they live up in Westchester. They live up in Connecticut. But they come down to Manhattan for the game. So it's going to be it's probably going to be the same way. The last clip I'm going to do, Brian, is clip number 4. Because I know we're running low on time. But I want to get this girl by the name of Colleen Coghlan. She actually ran... She's from the St. Louis Blue Liners fan club, and they actually hosted the convention. So I want to get a perspective of someone that actually had worked their tail off for 2 years to get this wonderful week going. So if you can play clip number 4 for me.
I'm here at the NHL Booster Club convention in St. Louis, and I'm talking to Colleen Coghlan, who is the chairperson for the NHLBC this year in St. Louis. If you can give me a minute just to describe what has been a long and arduous 2 years from the day that you were told that you have the chance to host this convention till tonight as the last night of the convention hits.
Yes, it has been a very long 2 years. We tried to get everything done early and ahead of time, and for the most part we did. It was a lot of work. But in the end, the reward is great. Seeing everybody happy and seeing the hockey family. It's a lot of work, but it's still a lot of fun as well.
So it's like you basically have about 160 cousins right now.
Correct.
That's always a good thing. So other than having all the work to do, what has been, in your mind, the best thing that's happened this week?
The fun is a lot of times are the pre-convention trips and getting, when you're hosting, you get to show your hockey family your city and the fun things that you like to do and you think they'd like to do in the city. So it's promoting, you know, kind of like a family reunion. You go see, you know, go to your cousin's house, you go to grandma's house, aunt, you know, Uncle Roy's house, Aunt Joanne's house. So that's the nice part. It's like you're visiting family.
So now that the convention is running to a close, the last activities, what will be the next 48 hours in your life?
Packing up the hospitality room.
and then
packing up my own room and unpacking the hospitality room into the house. And then, unfortunately, I have to go back to work on Monday because my real job has a big project launching, so I have to go back to work.
Well, it would be nice to get back to normalcy a little bit. And, again, best of luck during the season, and thanks for the great time that all these people have had in St. Louis this week.
Believe me, we appreciate it. Good luck to your team. Maybe, you know, we might have to maybe go and find a, you know, have a game or something. I could go see a game.
That's a good idea. We'd love to have you the last season in Long Island. Great. Thanks, Colin.
Okay. So, like I said, it's a labor of love to host an event like this. And, you know, if you are listening in the New York area, I can suggest, if you are an Islander fan, there's a website, nybooster.org. The Islander Booster Club has a kiosk over at Gate 17. We assist with the 50-50 drawing every game. So I'm always there. My wife's always there. There's always somebody around. They can give you information. The Rangers Fan Club, I believe, doesn't have an open website right now, but they are on Facebook. So if you're a fan of the Rangers and you want to get involved with them, check them out. The Devils Fan Club, I believe, is devilsfanclub.org. But there is a national site called nhlboosters.org where you can get information from your favorite team and, again, some of the defunct teams as well. So it's a great way to get involved with your team other than just going to a game and watching your team play. It's a cool atmosphere.
And plus, it's relatively a cheap deal. I mean, you're hooking out with all Islander fans, and that's the most important.
I know if you're an Islander fan as well, I know with the Islander Booster Club, one of the things we're trying to get involved in getting done this year, and we haven't had it lately, is to go on away trips. That's another of the cool part. I mean, we've been over the 25 years I've been going, you know, been involved. We've gone to Montreal, Quebec, Toronto, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Carolina. This year, we're looking for the first time to go to Detroit. It is Super Bowl weekend, but we're going to try to do it. It's a Sunday afternoon game in Detroit, and I think that would be a cool thing for us to get involved with. So if you're interested, again, check out the website. The Islander Booster Club is also on Facebook or also on Twitter, NYI Booster on Twitter. And a membership is only as good as what you make it out to be. You know, if you're, you know, good on social media, we have somebody that runs our stuff. But if you want to, you know, help out, we can always use the help. You know, most of the people that are involved in the organization, unfortunately, are a little older and not necessarily the most adept computer people. So we can always use the help. But, again, we got a couple minutes left in the show. So, Jake Brown's coming on. So, yeah, go ahead.
What'd you think of Detroit? How'd you like that, you know, the Red Wings? You went to the stadium, I'm assuming? Did you go?
Oh, we mean?
When you went to? Oh, St. Louis, I'm sorry.
St. Louis. Busch Stadium was absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. It was great. I mean, we also had a tour. We were supposed to have a tour of the Scott Trade Center where the Blues play, but unfortunately, Miley Cyrus had the building taken over, so we weren't allowed to go in. So that stupid witch screwed that up. But Anheuser-Busch was fun. That was cool. That was really a great time.
They have like a Little Italy section down there.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the restaurant that I know we went to, right across the street was Yogi Berra Park.
That's where he's from, Yogi.
Yeah, Yogi Berra is from the Hill in St. Louis, and actually Joe Garagiola was his neighbor across the street. Right. So yeah, they grew up together.
Now, what do they call it the Hill for?
It is off downtown St. Louis. It's up a hill, and that's the Italian neighborhood. It's a residential area with a bunch of restaurants, all Italian restaurants all around. Every one of them as good as the next. Unfortunately, I don't eat much any Italian food anymore because I can't. But
I just want to say, Gary, you look fantastic, and you lost a lot of weight.
I've lost 125 pounds.
You look fantastic. Yeah, you look a different person.
Yeah,
right
it is. If you see pictures of me on Facebook, you wouldn't believe it.
Because he's wearing his Islander shirt, and it's very, very baggy on him.
That's right. Proud of it, man.
Proud of it.
So I think Jake Brown is coming up next, and we got about 4 minutes, so we can still talk about things.
So if you can, this is the big push, is try to join the Booster Club if you can. You can go online and do it, right, Gary?
Right, www.nyibooster.org is the site. The application is online. You can click on it and get involved.
And what about tickets? Do you guys have deals with
tickets? Well, we did have opening night tickets, but we just closed them out. But we are going to have tickets for the closing night, and that's going to be a big thing. Obviously, because everybody's going to want tickets to that last game.
Very hard to come by on April 11th
against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're obviously not available yet to the general public. They won't be until January, but we have a hand in on it, and we will have tickets for that game. But again, the cool part is the trips, and yeah. I think, like I said, we weren't going to try to do Pittsburgh in October, but that's too fast, and we're not going to get enough. We're thinking about maybe. Definitely doing Detroit. We're possibly thinking of Boston, but that would be like Boston would be a trip where we would come back home the same day. Detroit is an overnight.
Because I have season tickets like you did, you know, for the Islanders, and you always see these, like when I go to when the Montreal plays, the Montreal travels well. The Penguins obviously travel well. I mean, obviously the Tri-State, the Devils, and the Rangers, which is a difference, you know, obviously, but. They have these too, like Detroit comes down here. I mean, these guys, Boston.
There are a lot of fan club booster clubs have great travel groups. Philadelphia is one of them. I'm good friends with a lot of people who run Philly, and they always have groups. Believe it or not, LA has a great group that comes out every year, and they will be out, I believe, in March. So San Jose as well. The Western teams actually travel well because remember they have in order to see a road game they've got to fly.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there's no way around it. So. John, I really appreciate you filling in for Mr. Panarese.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
I know he's going to be listening to this when he's on his cruise, and wondering.
I wish I was with him though, right now.
I'm glad
I'm in here with you.
Yeah, I mean, our next show, John Panarese and I, is going to be, I believe, on the 21st of September. We are looking to secure one Garth Snow. Garth has been on our show twice, and hopefully he'll come on for a third time to talk about a preview of the season. And at that time, the preseason games are going to be going, so everybody's going to be pumped up and getting ready to, celebrate that last season in Uniondale. And we are going to be closing the show right now. And again, John, thank you so much.
Catch me next week with Derek. We're talking football, Jet football. The first game's next week against Oakland. Let's see how the Jets pan out. Hopefully it's a big win.
Yes, I'm a Jet fan.
Let's go, Gino.
Gino's got to do the job. So again, in the words of my good old friend Bill Hayes, we hope you keep skating, and we will see you in a couple weeks. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Jake Brown is up next for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. Make sure you listen to him. He's got a lot of interesting stuff coming on. Good night, everybody.
In the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.